Well, we've been in a series that we called Not of This World, but this morning I just felt we're going to go in a little bit different direction. Just felt specifically to speak on a few things here. So let's turn over to Matthew 28. Praise God. How many of you believe we should just be led by the Holy Spirit? It's easy as a pastor, you know, getting a series, just to just keep clipping on the series. But I check my heart, you know, if there's something else. And I don't know, I felt just impressed. Well, let's go in this other direction this morning. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what I want to focus on this morning, that He is with you, that He is with us. Praise God. Somebody said, I heard a story one time, they said this guy was afraid to fly. He didn't want to fly, and he would never fly. He's a minister, but he just wouldn't fly. He'd take the bus, he'd drive, whatever. And one time a friend then asked him about that. So why, you know, the Bible says that God's with us always. Jesus himself said he'd be with you always. Why are you so afraid to fly? He said, no, you're misquoting that verse. He said, lo, I am with you always. No, thank God he's with us, whether we're 35,000 feet in the air, or whether we're on the ground. He is with us no matter where we are. Amen?
Amen.
That's a joke, right? There was no guy that I know of that actually said that. But praise God, He is with us. Always. Everybody say always.
Always.
Say it again.
Always.
One more time.
Always.
What does that mean?
Always.
Except when you're having a bad day or a rough time at work.
No.
Or, you know, you're feeling a little under the weather. You're not quite up to it.
No. Uh-uh.
So he's gone until you get over it.
Uh-huh.
No. No, always. What does always mean?
Always.
Always. Now, I know we know this with our head, but what does always mean? Would that include right now?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't know. It doesn't matter what I don't know. It doesn't matter what's going on. Is he with us right now or not?
Yes.
Who are we talking about's with us?
Jesus.
The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, is inside of us and with us right now.
Yes.
That changes. If we get... That changes the whole thing. If we'll actually believe that and act on it, I didn't say assent to it, kind of like, yeah, I know that, whatever, but. See, when we start saying but, now tell me, seriously, if we seriously believe that God Almighty is with us always, which would include right now, and then we have a but after that, we did not get the first part of that. Because
yes.
What's your but that's going to undo God is with you right now? Seriously.
Yeah.
If God is with us right now, and the Spirit of Almighty, the one that created the heavens and the earth, we sing about it, we talk about it, but the Spirit of Almighty God, the creator of the universe, Jesus, who he came to the earth, He conquered hell and the grave. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords.
Yes.
The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. And if He is with us right now, then what in the world would we be saying but about? Is there anything that is too difficult for Him?
No.
Anything. Is there one thing that you can say, God, well, you can't handle this one?
No.
It's in our thinking. Mm-hmm. I said, if there is anything like that, it's our distorted thinking. It's not reality, because reality is He is omniscient. He is our all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He has all power. There is nothing too difficult for Him. Everybody's saying there's nothing.
Too difficult for God.
There's nothing too difficult for Him. There is not one thing. He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful. His ability, we can't even begin to fathom one fraction of it. Our world is so small. I don't care if you've traveled all over this world. Consider yourself, you know, really traveled and culturally aware. That's the earth. The earth is nothing compared to the universe. And a fraction, this is what men know, which is nothing compared to the Almighty. He always has been. We've been on the earth for how long? I'm saying even you. Nobody in this room was around in the 17th century. We haven't been here that long. We know just, it's not even worth talking about how little we know compared to Him. When you talk about what science knows or what doctors know, that's not the limit of what is. How many of you know 100 years ago, the limit of what doctors knew and researchers knew was a lot different than it is today? That's a moving target. It's different yesterday than today. It'll be different tomorrow. I'm sure somebody, it's Sunday here, but there's people that are working all the time. Knowledge is increasing all the time, right? So if we're going by what's possible right now, just from a human view, it's changing all the time. But that's not the limit of what is. We're here. God is, you can't even see where His knowledge is, and our knowledge is just moving like this, yet but His is already out there. He already knows how to do stuff that we may, if He tarries, may get to in a few thousand years. But He knows it now, and He knows how to do it now, and He can do it now, because His power is unlimited now.
Amen.
You know what it's limited by? It's just limited by us believing that He can do anything, because the Bible says He can do anything. He's only limited Himself. The only things He can't do is where He's limited Himself. He will not lie. He cannot lie. But He's all-powerful. So the Bible says all things are possible to Him who believes. Not all things are not possible just to anybody. To him who believes, all things are possible.
Yeah.
It's not God. God can do anything. Mm-hmm. We're not limited by Him. If we were limited by Him, everybody'd be already healed, already taken care of, already saved, because it's Him. But it's not. We're limited by our reaction to Him. The world is rejecting Him by in part. That's not Him. That's not His will. He's already sent Jesus for the sins of everybody. If it was up to God, we'd be done. Everybody would already be out of here.
Yep.
And if it was up to Him, everybody be healed and healthy. But it's not all up to Him. He is present and His power is present, but we have to react to Him in order for it to come into our lives. But all that is believing that who He said He is who He said He is.
Right.
That's all faith is. If He said it, I'm going to believe it. Doesn't matter if I see it. Doesn't matter if I feel it. He said it, so I believe it. That's our reaction. That's our part. He's not going to shove His part onto us. He can't. He won't. It's illegal. Satan has a say in this thing, and he legally has control over certain things for a time, like what we've talked about. And God's not going to come in there and insert himself. He can't. But we can believe him. And so he said that he is with us. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Always. He's with us. Look at, go back a few chapters to Matthew 14. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 14. Verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. Glory to you, God. Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now notice that part. He urged, he invited. Margin of my Bible says, his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you and walk on the water, or come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now I want to focus your attention on a few things. Notice verse 22 again. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So did Jesus tell them, go to the other side? He told them to get in the boat and said, you're going to the other side. Yes. So this is his will, yes. Right? Yes. This is what he told them to do. So he sent the people away, or got them going. Now, in verse 24, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So they're having trouble. Are they in the will of God?
Yes.
Are they?
Yes.
Jesus himself said go. But they're in a storm. And now Jesus comes out to them. And he's walking on the sea, and they're afraid, and they're saying, it's a ghost. They cried for fear. Verse 27, Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. So in the middle, there's a storm. Jesus, though, is coming out to them. He's there. He could only be there in one place, but with us, he can be his spirit, is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. But here they are in the middle of the sea, in the middle of God's will, and they're facing a storm. And Jesus came on the scene. And he said, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. I'm here. And so then we know the story. Peter said, well, if it's you, tell me to come out. And he did. And he walked for a little while. But then he got his eyes off Jesus. And he went back and looked at the waves. And he started to sink. And then Jesus says, where's your faith? Why didn't you believe? Jesus was there. They were in the will of God. But we see there was a storm, and their reaction to what Jesus said, notice he said, come. That was the word of God. Peter, as long as he looked at the word, as long as he looked at Jesus, was fine. But when he started to look at the winds, or the result of the winds, the waves, he got afraid and he started to sink. But Jesus is right there. Right? Jesus is right out in front of him, but he's still afraid. Why is he afraid? He's not looking at the right thing. Period. You have God Almighty. Now, they don't know him the way we do. You know, they believe some things about him, but they don't have the Bible. They don't know the fullness of who Jesus was at this point. But still, you have the Master there. You go for a little while, but then you start to sink. What? You're not looking at Jesus anymore. You're looking at the problem. But where are you? These guys are in the middle of God's will. Would you ever have a storm come up or a challenge in the middle of God's will? This isn't the only scripture for that. Maybe we'll look at a few of them. But do you have to, does the, well, let's read a little bit more. Let's turn over to John. Go to John 14. It's on your sheet too. John 14, verse 25. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. John 14, verse 25. Everybody there? It said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I think we'll come back to that. Skip over just a couple chapters to John 16, verse 32. John 16, verse 32. It says, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said that I am not alone. The Father is with me. We just read that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has been given as our helper. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you. Now, it's not just these things. Jesus has been speaking here for this. So if you look back in chapter 14 and 15 and 16, if you have a Bible that has red letters, it's all red. He's been talking to the disciples. And he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, in this world you are going to have tribulation if you got one of the unlucky numbers and it got called, and therefore I'm going to punish you with tribulation.
No.
You'll have tribulation if it's my will for you to have tribulation. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to single you out. You're going to have tribulation. No, he didn't say that. He just said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Now, we know that it's not His will that we perish. It's not His will that these things overcome us. But He said, in the world, you're going to have some of it. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Tribulation, that word tribulation, translated tribulation, it means pressure. It means oppression. It means stress. It means anguish. It means tribulation. It means adversity. It means affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. I'm going to read that quickly. Again, it means pressure. So this word tribulation, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. What does that mean? Now Jesus said, we are going to have this. He didn't say, if you're a super good Christian, you can skirt it. He didn't say, if you've heard some good faith messages, none of this stuff's going to come near you. That's not what He said. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. What is tribulation? Pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Has anybody ever experienced anything like those words here on the earth? You ever experienced pressure? Something feels like it's squeezing you, squashing you. Huh? Is there anybody in this room that's never experienced any of those things? You're either out of it, not fully aware of what's going on. But no, the Bible says this stuff will come in the world. But then Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, be of good cheer. In the middle of it, He's overcome it. Well, if He's overcome it, His Spirit is on the inside of us. And so we have overcome it. He will show us how to overcome it. He did not say, as some people teach, this has been sent to you, it's my will, and you just have to put up with it. There's a difference between having the pressure and knowing what to do with it and to overcome it. There's a difference between you feeling the pressure and the pressure overcoming you. Just because you feel the pressure. Jesus said, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have things that try to push you and squeeze you and try to cause stress. But it doesn't mean we have to let it into us and let it overcome us. There's a big difference. Just because we have pressure, okay, Jesus had pressure, but it didn't overcome Him. Those disciples that we just read about, do you think they felt pressure when they were in the middle of the water there and the winds are blowing and they're having a tough time? Did they feel pressure? Was Jesus in the same area and feeling the same pressure? Huh? He was walking right by him, right? Did He look like He was ruffled up about that?
No.
Same thing. And let me ask you a question. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. Did Jesus know what to do?
Yes.
And did it overcome Him or did He overcome it?
He overcame it.
But it was pressure.
Yes.
And they were in the middle of the will of God. Some people get this idea that if you walk in the middle of God and you do everything right, and that if you have studied all your scriptures and you've heard a good message, then nothing will ever come into your life to challenge you or to put pressure on you. That's not Bible. I said it's not Bible.
Right.
I would love it if that were the case.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
That's called heaven.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We live in a cursed world. We live in a fallen world. God is not in control of everything. If He was, He'd have it in a complete mess. No, there is an enemy. There is a thief that goes about to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's messing this thing up. We're here, but that stuff does not have to overcome us. It's part of this world. But like we've been talking about in our other series, we're in this world, but we're not of it. You still are dealing with some of the effects of it, though. And you can be right in the middle of God's will and experience tribulation. That doesn't mean something is wrong necessarily. It means you're under attack, or you're feeling the effects of this world, and it's not time to start saying, God, where are you? What's going on? Where would you help me? Because he already said he will never leave us nor forsake us. It says that in Hebrews. We'll probably look at it. He said, I'll be with you always. He is here now in the midst of it. That's not the time to start saying, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why won't you help me? It's time to start acting on what he did say. He said, I'd be with you. I'll help you overcome it. Now what? You ask him, what do I do in this situation? I'm going to act on your word, and you give me the specifics, and I believe we're coming through. That's not the time to fold up and go, I want the storm to pass. Just make it all go away. That's not the right answer. That's how people perish. Because it's acting like God is not here. We have to understand that this world is run. I mean, we've read many scriptures. I don't have time to go back through them, even the last few weeks. Go back and listen to those. We're not really touching on that. But there is a God of this age. There is a ruler of this present time. And his name is Satan. Adam bowed the knee to Satan. And the Bible calls Satan the God of this world. That doesn't mean God isn't the ruler over all. He is. Satan has a lease. And when his lease is out, he's going to be cast out. But right now, he is the ruler of this age. He is going around wreaking havoc. And he is trying to take everybody with him that he can. And he is causing destruction in this world. All the destruction, all the death that we experience is because of sin and because of Adam's fall and because there is an enemy. It is not God. But we're in this mess, but we're not without help. We have a God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, knows every trick in the book that the enemy could ever throw at him, and many, many more. He is a large. He is not an equal and opposite force to Satan. That is so far from the truth. He is a created being. God is almighty. He is the creator, and Satan is one created being. He is not a match for the Almighty, and he knows it, but he also knows that men don't know it. So he roars and he yells and he pushes and he creates stuff and he tries to get Christians to bow to the pressure, to tribulation. And one of his favorite things is to tell you that somehow God is failing you in the middle of this. Where is he? Why is this happening to you? Well, you can tell you're already in this world. It's a fallen world. It's defective. Men have fallen. Things have been done over centuries, over ages. This world is decaying, so you see the result of decay. You see it in people's behavior. You see it in their bodies. You see it in their relationships. You see it in the world. There is decay. It shouldn't be a surprise that we see things that aren't like they were at creation. The question of why are things wrong is a function of the father of this world now. He is in disarray. He's deaf. And so it's gone into the world. People are suffering the results of sin and destruction and sickness, and it's here, and we're going to rub shoulders with it while we're here. But we have the Almighty, creator of the universe, the helper on the inside of us, to navigate through it. He said, you're going to bump up against some of this stuff, but he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. He didn't say, if you bump up against it, start questioning me and asking me where I am and what should I do about it and where did I turn off wrong and what's going on, because this is what happens in this world. We bump up against some of it. The question is, what do we do when we bump up against it? Throw up our hands, say, I can't do it anymore. This is too much. I don't know what to do. And God, where are you? And then go. That will get you nowhere but dark. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to do, is to throw up our hands and start questioning God. He loves that. He's tried all along. Since the beginning, he's tried to put a wedge between God and man. Right? Didn't he do that in the garden? He came right. He said, has God really said this? And that's exactly what he does today. God is where with you? Why hasn't he done this? Why has this happened in your life? Where was he here? And I don't know how many times I've heard people in the national spotlight tell a story of where they are in their belief system, because when they were 11 years old, they called out to God in a certain situation. And from their perspective, God didn't answer them. So therefore, he's not real. And it's all nonsense. And so I don't believe in a God. I've heard that I don't know how many times. You probably have too.
Yep.
Satan loves that line.
Yes.
He'll lie to a child and say, God, this was God took your mother. God did this. God wasn't there for you. God caused this in your family. And he tries to embed a consciousness that God has failed them, when he knows full out that it's him and he wants to kill that person. And the way he can do that is cut him off from the Lord. That's how he does it. So he lies to adults. He lies to this everybody that will listen. He inspires people to all the junk that's out there in the literature over the centuries. I'm not just talking about the current century. I'm talking about for centuries. This junk that had the ignorance that is in there, trying to build this questioning. Oh, we just don't know. And questioning all these things in the human condition. And it's ignorance of the Bible. The Bible's been around. That predates a lot of this junk that was written during the 1600s, 1700s, stuff that's called classics, that is actually drivel.
Yes.
And people reverence this stuff. Yes. It is ignorance of God and his ways, and it's just bumbling through trying to question and figure out who we are and what's going on. And people have grown up in systems that have pass this stuff down. So people say, yeah, we can't know God, and we just don't know why this happened. And they give examples of something happening as if that's a proof that we just don't know. And it ignores the truth that we have in the Word. And so people get cut off. And they don't, where is God? Why doesn't he prove himself? And he separates men from the Creator. Why? Because he hates them. He hates us. He hates mankind. He hates us because we're loved by God. Jesus came and ransomed himself to pay for mankind. And if men listen to Satan, then they will suffer the same fate as Satan. And that's called hell. So he tries to convince Christians that God's not with you. God's not there. Where was he? If God's so with you, if God is your strength, why did this happen? Where's your mom now? Where's your dad? Why did that happen with your brother? What about your child? And he's wicked. He plays hardball. He's not playing games. He's trying to take out people. And so he will question. He'll say, God, where was God? And it's always impugning the Lord. Where was he? We need to know God is faithful. God is faithful. He is a faithful God. If he said he would not leave us, look at on your sheet there, Hebrews. Hebrews Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetous, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Did he say it? He said, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We have to know that he is a good God, that he loves us, that he won't leave us, that he has not left us. We have to say, "I believe that more than what I see." Because the enemy is a master at deception, and he will lie about circumstance. Even though he knows the truth, he will tell you, "This is happening because of such and such." And if you'll listen, he'll tell you, if you're open to his lies, he'll tell you, "And you made this mistake, that's why this is happening." Then there may be in certain circumstances where something you did opened the door to something else. But we also have to know that Jesus himself said, just all you have to do to experience tribulation is be born. You just have to be in this world. And you're going to bump up against some of it. The question is, if we do bump up against it, what's our reaction? God is our help. He's the one that'll bring us through. He's the one that knows every answer. Do you understand that he knows? He is not in the dark about it. He knows exactly if you're facing a certain situation, whatever area of life it has to do with, if it's relationally, if it's financially, socially, with, you know, a job, with health, mentally, physically. Do we understand that he knows exactly, precisely, how it came to be and how to get out of it? He doesn't need to ask any questions about it. He doesn't need to assess the situation. He doesn't need to compare it to any other patient files or to any data. He doesn't need to do any analytics on it. He knows right now. Right now. Do you realize he knows how to fix everything in everybody's life, in all 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, in every nation, in every government? He knows exactly what needs to be done right now. He doesn't have to think about it one bit. He knows right now.
Yes.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
He's in us and he's with us right now.
Yes.
Then that means anything that we're facing, if we'll tune into him, there's already a path out. If we'll believe that he's with us and he is who he says he is, then we're already on the road to get out.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of us tuning in. That's it. There's no other question. Anything else is distortion and misunderstanding and lies that have been propagated through humankind through all this time. Well, you don't know. Yeah, but what does the word say? Forget all that junk. What is it? Well, it was such and such, and I saw this movie. Forget that. What does the word say?
Yeah.
Is he with us? If he's with us.
Yes.
And he is the creator.
Yes.
I mean, this is the truth. It's not, we boil it down to what the Bible says. You can teach this stuff to 3-year-olds, and they'll get it. God's good. If you follow God, he can fix anything. Follow God.
Yep.
And if you have a problem, bring it to him, because he can fix it.
Yep.
If you have another problem, bring it to God, and he'll fix it. Do what he says, and it'll be okay. 3-year-old could take that and run, say, life's good, all right. Problem comes up, I know what to do with this, God. Okay, and go on. Right? But we're too smart for that most of the time. We have too much learning that, well, it's not that easy. Is it? Is it really not that easy? What part of what we just said is false?
Nothing.
We make it hard. What, you know what the problem is? We got too much other junk rattling around in here that's combating with it's just that simple.
Yeah.
But let's just go back again. If God can do anything, and He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and sent Jesus, and we believe that He sent Jesus to pay the price for us and to bear our sickness, and that He knows, He is, the Bible says Christ has been made wisdom to us. The Bible says if we need wisdom, any of you lacks wisdom, to ask, James 1:5, to ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The Bible says in Matthew 8:17, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The Bible tells us how to deal with our fellow man. You have a problem, go to the person. If we believe that the Spirit of Almighty God, who's called the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Standby, if He's in us and we believe that and we have an issue, what would you do in the natural if you had a legal issue? You could go to a lawyer who knows more about it. What if you had, you know, an accounting issue? You could go to an accountant. What if you had to sell some real estate? You go to a real estate person. Well, God is the superset of all that, and it's not limited by anything. If we have any issue, we can go to Him, and He can get put, if He needs to put us in contact with somebody that can help us, He can do that. If He needs to just cause you to help you to find an article, if He cause you to understand some things from the Word, just give you wisdom that just comes from your heart. He is not limited by how He gets it to us, but the fact is, if we'll look to Him, if we'll believe that He can do it, light comes, and we're on the path of getting out because we believe there's a way out. We go from, I don't know how this happened, and I just don't see a way out, and where is God? And that just is dark, and you're just going around and round and round in circles, and the enemy will just jump on your shoulder and say, yeah, where is He? And what are you going to do now? And you just, he'll give you videos of this getting darker and it getting worse, and show you 5 years from now and how bad it's going to be, and 10 years from now, you know, nothing will be going right, and the pain and the relationships, and he'll just play these pictures of it getting worse. You will go nowhere in there, but we have to get out of that and say, enough, God is with me right now. He said He was. He knows all of it. I don't care what He has to get it across to me. If He has to send 100 people across my path, I'm going to get it. I'm going to know. He's going to help me. My body will be strong. And you start painting a picture of life and health and victory. Amen. Now. But it starts now. It's not, well, I don't know about that, and put it off. No, it starts now, all the time. It's when we choose to start taking Him at His word and say, that's right, God is here. He's with me now. Now, God, show me the step that I'm going to do today. Show me. And one thing I know is that I'm going to look to You, and I'm going to receive. I'm going to look to You and glorify You for all You've done for me now. I'm not going to look at what I don't understand. I'm not going to start focusing on the things I don't know. I'm going to start focusing on the things I do know, and I'm going to thank You, and I'm going to start receiving direction to go further and to go up, and I see things just getting better and better and better and better and better. We're not going back anymore. They're not going worse. And when the enemy tries to play you a picture of how bad it's going to be, you say, no, that's nonsense. Nonsense. That might be your plan for me, but I'm on a different plan. I'm going with God. My children are going to be okay. My body's going to be okay. My finances are going to be okay. And I just see better and better and better and better. And glory to God, we're going to have a good time while we're here on this earth. Even in the middle of some junk. Yeah, there's going to be some junk, but man, I got enough momentum. I'm just going to knock it out of the way because I have the Lord inside of me. Look at Isaiah 41. Glory to God. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 41, you can just look at on your sheet or take the time to turn there. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now take this personally. It says, fear not, Imagine the Lord saying this to us right now. Fear not, for I am with you. Everybody say, He's with me.
He's with me.
It says, be not dismayed. Can you just see Him picking up somebody's head and say, fear not, I'm with you. Hey, lifting up their chin, be not dismayed, because I'm your God. Come on, child, quit it. Quit looking down. Quit looking at all the junk. Hey, don't be sad. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be of good cheer. Yeah. Hey, I know you've been hurting. I know the stuff that went on, but don't be dismayed. Look at me. I'm your God. Imagine Him telling you that. I am your God. Me. Awesome. The Almighty. I'm your God. I'm your daddy. It's going to be okay. Think about that. Think about who we're talking about. Think, well, I don't have anybody on the earth. You have Him. I didn't have a daddy, or this happened, or that happened. Put that aside and think about Him. He says, I'm your God. Now, that's what He says. What's our reaction? What is our reaction to Him? Are we going to say, He's saying, I am your God. I am here for you. What do we say in response? No, that's too good. No, or we say, all right, you're right. We can look down, we can look at all this stuff, and that, you know, that just causes us to go in circles, or we can lift our head up and start saying, that's right, you're my God. All right. There's no limit here anymore. There's no problem here. You're on the scene. You're my God. Okay, what are we going to do? You show me. Let's start walking it. Because He says, I will strengthen. Imagine Him saying this to you right now. I will strengthen you. You say, I'm too weak. I don't know. That's okay. Guess what? He says, I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to strengthen you. You just look at me. You look at me. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll bring you up. You may not be strong enough right now, but that's okay. You're going to be strong. You're going to be at a higher level. Just look at me. Don't think you have to do it. That's not the thing. Look at me. Because He's more. He's almighty. And He knows exactly. You think He has a strengthening program that'll work for us?
Yes.
You know, we go to consultants, you know, help me get in shape. You don't think he can do that? He knows exactly what He saw, everything that happened in our lives that made us weak in certain areas. And He says, I know how to undo that. Just look at me. I'll bring you up. You talk about strong, you're going to be so strong. You're going to look back at yourself. You're not going to even recognize yourself. Just look at me. Just look at me. Look at me. I have this. You don't have to figure it out. Just do what I tell you to do. We got this. He said, I'll help you. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Hallelujah.
That's okay. He knows what to do, and He said He'd help us. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Almighty is my helper. All right, we're done. It's all done but the shouting now, because if He's my helper, He's my God, and He said He's going to strengthen me, and He's going to help me do it, why would I be dismayed at that point? Why would I be down? No, I just say, all right, well, this is looking better every time. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So He said, I'm going to strengthen you. You mad? You see this? He's looking. He says, huh, pick up your head. Look at me. Now I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. And once you get strong, I'm going to hold you and keep you there. And we're just going to walk this together. And we're going to get strong. And at those things that used to bother you, they're going to bounce off. Why? Because I'm going to help you. You look to me, I know how to get out of this thing. I know how to bring us up. I know how to get you to places that you could never imagine, because as you look at me, you will come up. I will show you little tweaks to make. I'll show you little changes to make, and I'll help you, and I'll strengthen you. And I'm going to bring you to a point that these things that used to stop you for weeks on end, you go and you don't even hardly notice them because you're so strong. You're so vigorous. You're so full of me. Hallelujah.